temperance. Now, we usually think of temperance as moderation. Not too much, not too little. You find that happy medium. It also means restraint. This morning, I want to especially develop the thought of restraint, not so much the thought of moderation. Especially self-control. That's another way that this word is translated, self-control. How can you say no when the flesh says yes? How can you say yes when the flesh says no? I think that's what this is about here. And as you follow the logical sequence of thinking, when Paul presented righteousness, he presented the claims of the gospel. He presented God's demands. God is requiring us to not live after the flesh, because if we live after the flesh, we shall die. And Felix, you're going to die if you don't repent. But Felix was thinking there, but I can't. I'm trapped. I'm in these pressures. How could I give in to the gospel? What would people think? Temperance is man's response to God's demands. And so as Felix sat there and listened, his mind was in a whirl. God says I have to do this. I'm so far away from, well, his conscience was there screaming at him for the way he was living. But how could he give up? He was caught. So the question is, how can I find the strength to say no when the flesh is screaming yes? When I feel like I'm trapped in a landslide of confusion and just being swept along. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever felt like you got caught in the swirling and you don't even hardly know what to think yourself? Paul described that process in Romans 7. Maybe we shouldn't take time to read it. I don't know, but I like when the Word of God speaks to us. Let's start reading here in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. What a confusion. What a mess. He ends up with that verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And of course, there's a lot of religious people that say, well, that's the normal Christian life. That's Paul was describing the way what he was living. I think Paul was describing where he was at one time in his life. But this is not God's plan for his children. This is not God's will for his children. Somebody that used to be a member of our church recently told one of us that all the preachers live in, and she just mentioned a number of sins. That's just what preachers do. Well, she was trying to make herself feel good. She was trying to make herself feel justified. Is that the way God wants us to live? Of course not. We saw very clearly in the last message that is not God's plan for his children. But we have a problem, and that problem is that our flesh likes to sin. And we have another problem, that we're pretty good at figuring out how to justify ourselves and how to feel smug about ourselves. And we're pretty good at comparing ourselves, and well, at least I don't do that. And you know what I'm talking about. We are complex people. Our minds are very complex. The reason for that is because we're made in the image of God. God created us to be complex thinkers. And we can almost trick ourselves into thinking that it's okay. We can almost think ourselves into not seeing the reality of what we really are doing. Because when you just break it apart and you look at the reality, what we're really doing is we're reacting to our hurts. And we're running from our fears. And we're trying to fill the voids deep inside that we think is going to make us happy. And we're trying to dress it up with all kinds of religious talk and make ourselves look good, think good. I mean, that we look good in the eyes of other people. People think good about us. And that's not where the victory is. Neither is the victory in just trying harder. Well, I just got to try harder. I think we find a key in James 4. James 4, let's read verses 4 to 10. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, I talked about people over there on the left. They're trying to figure out how to get out of life what they want and try to keep God out of the picture. But there's people over here on the other extreme, and they're trying to figure out how to get what they want, but use God, use religion to do it. And that's not right either. I think the key we find here is submit yourselves, therefore, to God. There's a lot in that. It's so easy to have a wrong concept of God. You know, if we have a wrong concept of God, it's hard to get it right. What does this mean, this verse here, verse 5? Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? What is God saying here? I think what he's saying here is God is jealous. He wants to have first place in our heart. And so we need to turn this thing around. Instead of figuring out how to use God to get what I want, that's idolatry, by the way. I don't care how you dress it up, but that's idolatry. We need to submit ourselves to God. Let him work in us. And look at it from his perspective. What does God want to do with me? And we read there in Romans 7. And you know, if we don't get it right in Romans 6, where it talks about dying to self, dying to sin. And the first part of Romans 7 talks about dying to the law. So we have to die to our sin, our self, and we have to die to the law, so that we can be resurrected with Jesus Christ, and then God can work in us. And we don't have to live in Romans 7. We get to live in Romans 8. We'll talk about more about that later on. So we need to submit to God. Get self off that throne. And that's easier said than done. We struggle with that. But that's the key. That's the key to finding the power of God to live in victory. To be able to say no when our flesh is screaming out yes. Get self off the throne and put God there. His Holy Spirit. Surrender to the will of the Father and worship Him. And as I search my heart, and I'm asking God to show me what is the bitterness that I'm feeding on? What is the record that I'm trying to get straight on my terms? What is that deep ache in my heart that I'm trying to soothe? Maybe I'm trying to soothe it with a lust, a secret lust that I'm secretly enjoying. Do I dare ask the Father to bring discipline into my life? Do you like discipline? I don't like discipline. Do you dare ask the Father to bring the discipline that He knows I need? And as I continue there on my knees, I suddenly realize that the sin that I felt was appealing, it looked so enjoyable, now is disgusting and it's horrifying. The offense that I thought I just couldn't get over just fades into the distance. So I focus on how much Jesus has forgiven me. The front that I thought that I could hide behind, the facade that I tried so hard to build and maintain, we just tear it down as I freely confess my faults and I choose to walk in the light. And we can find the power to say no. The next point is remember your homework. How many school children do we have here? You like homework? Well, this isn't just for school children. We have a lot to work at. 2 Peter 1, let's go look at that. 2 Peter 1, let's start reading here with verse 2 and read into verse 11. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is our homework? Well, we're supposed to do the math. When we multiply, knowing God through Jesus Christ, and we do that by faith, hanging on to the promises of God, that equals more grace, which is power and peace. You don't get temperance, you don't get self-control by just trying harder. When you focus on what you're trying to avoid, that monster just gets bigger. But when you focus on knowing God, you focus on His promises, and you do that times faith, by faith. You know, it's so easy to, all these injustices of life and all these hurts and all these things that come along, so easy to get hung up on them. But we need to always ask ourselves, well, what is God doing in this? What is God doing in this? God has a purpose. And as we allow God to work through that, and maybe we don't understand it, but we just lay a hold of that promise, we find direction by what He tells us to do, and we just do it whether it seems right or doesn't. We become partakers of the divine nature. And partaking of the divine nature gives us the escape from the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's where Felix could have found it. If he would have just given it to the Lord, if he would have just come in brokenness and cried out to the Lord Jesus in true repentance, he would have found his true happiness that he was looking for and never found. Well, there's more to this homework. We need to keep adding the important things. And he says, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, temperance, patience. There's so much for us to focus on. You know, I'm just going to be honest. It's so easy for me to get sidetracked. It's so easy for me to get off on a bunny trail. But when we focus on those things that aren't important in life, it leaves us powerless. Because he says that if we make this our life calling, focusing on this and adding this virtue to our faith and adding this knowledge and going ahead and finding self-control. That's what temperance means. Self-control. And patience, to be able to just hold in there when it all seems to be going wrong, and hold on to the promise of God, and just put one foot in front of the other, even though it doesn't feel like we can. Godliness, to know God. And brotherly kindness, there's always someone else that we can choose to focus on, to try to be a blessing to that person. And on top of that, charity. Just when we get to the end of that, we don't think that we made it. We have to go back and do it again. This is our assignment to work on. And it's such an important assignment. He says that if we do these things, we will not be barren or unfruitful. But if we don't, then we're going to be blind. And we're going to be falling back. If we focus on this, we can be assured of an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want that. And if we go over there to Ephesians 4, I don't think we'll turn there, but I think that's a very familiar passage. We find that there's some things that we need to subtract. He says, put off anger, wrath, malice, evil speaking, jealousies, and all those things that we struggle with. Put them off. Just keep putting them off. And in its place, put on the new man that God wants to do in our life. Remember working with a lady that she wanted to serve God. She wanted to be part of the church. But she just couldn't find the power to do it. She couldn't find her way out of her confusion. She couldn't read. Well, when she was a girl, her mom sent her to school, but instead of going to school, she played at the creek. And so day after day, instead of going to school, she played in the creek. Well, when she got to later on in her life, she couldn't read. But you know, that was a pattern in her life. Instead of focusing on this homework, she just did what felt good. She just did what seemed right at the moment. Can we afford to live our lives that way? And one more point I have. Tune into your thoughts. Tune into your thoughts. You know, you're constantly carrying a conversation on with yourself. I am. Sometimes I don't know what I'm telling myself. After a while, I feel discouraged. I feel, what's the use? And if I start listening to what I was telling myself, then I realize it. No wonder. So we need to learn to listen to what we're telling ourselves. Am I telling myself the truth? Or am I telling myself lies? If I tell myself lies and I believe those lies, then I'll act upon those lies. Should it be any surprise that I don't have the power to say no? Second Corinthians 10. helps us to understand the importance of our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And so, you may not be what you think you are, but what you think you are. Some of those imaginations we feed them, they will become giants. And those giants will come and fight us and destroy us. So we need to cast down those imaginations. We need to change those thought patterns. We need to get a hold of what I'm telling myself and confront it with the Word of God. Bring those thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I believe that is the key to finding the power to self-control, which is temperance. May God bless us.